Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me once again. This has become the Mutated Podcast. If you have listened over the last couple weeks, you will know that we switched from Behind Restaurant Life, which was the original incarnation of this podcast, to something else that will no longer be named because it was removed completely from the ether. And we are going back to restaurants, where this podcast was born, where it should have been from the beginning. And now we're just going to focus on Behind the Restaurant. Behind Restaurant Life was interesting, but it felt a little bit antagonistic. And I don't want to come off that way. I don't want to come off like I hate the restaurant industry, because there are portions of it that I do dislike, but there's so much of it that I love that to truly examine it only from the point of view of argument wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to me. It wasn't fair to anybody that listened. It wasn't fair to just an overall sense of what I wanted to get across. So we did a name change, which we did a ideal change, and we're coming back at it from the perspective of somebody who's been in the industry for 15 years since I was 20, I'm now 35. This has been my life. Working in restaurants in one way or another, working with restaurant people, working in the back in the kitchen, working as a manager, as a cashier, as a delivery person, as catering. I've done everything you can do when it comes to working for a restaurant. I will be honest and say that I didn't do any of the server or the busser stuff. That wasn't my repartee, as you could say. It wasn't what I was good at. So I didn't push myself to do that because I've never been the people person from that sense. I can talk to people, but I'm not the guy to sit there and hope to make my living off of tips. I wasn't that. That wasn't what I found to be the best. I can remember when I worked at a bowling alley in Chelsea Piers, New York. It was called 300 New York. I used to have discussions with the servers multiple times about, they would argue like, it's so much better being a server. Like the amount of tips I can make, the amount of money I can make throughout the year, the amount of stuff I can do. Like you, on the other hand, are stuck to the same hours, same time, you know? And I used to tell them like, you're right. In a short period of time, you can make a lot more money than I could. But in the long run, I'm going to end up making more money than you can. Because A, you have to report every single dollar that you're tipped. So B, in some way, you're going to have to signify what it is you were tipped. And it counts the same way as if you were making an hourly wage like I was making. The second part, B, is that your times of making money are shorter. While, yeah, it's true, when you're making really good money, I'm still only making the same amount I was making before. But when you're not making as much, I'm still making the same amount that I was making before. When you're having a bad week, and it's now a quarter of what you made the week before, I'm not getting that change or that adjustment. Because my position is needed for all the hours that it has to cover. My position is here whether or not we're busy or we're slow. My position is a necessary part, whether or not we are at peak time or we are at off-peak time. Yours is relevant only if peak or non-peak is there. And because of those arguments, because of those moments, I enjoyed those discussions. They weren't arguments. I enjoyed having them with them because it was important for them to learn those things, to learn what the business was run as, because you have to know that the best way to run a restaurant is to make sure that everybody that's involved in a restaurant knows as much as they can about it. You have to. If you don't, then you're screwing yourself and you're screwing the restaurant in the long term, honestly. But my whole point of, you know, my whole point of just talking about the restaurant industry and talking, taking those moments and having those those conversations with staff was so that they would understand that, yeah, you can do great when the business is there for you to be able to do great. But when it's not there and you're barely making the same hours and you're not getting tipped the same way because people aren't coming in and tipping as much, I'm still on solid frame making the same amount. My budget stays consistent throughout the whole years, while yours will fluctuate up and down depending on what's going on and what's happening around. And that's all I wanted to make sure they got across to them. But as I said, this podcast has gone through a lot of changes. It's gone through a lot of ups and downs, and it's gone through a lot of things. And I wanted to come back in this one with some clarity of my position and some perspective on what I've gone in and what I've come out of and what this means to me, so that I can come at this with new listeners and with new people wanting to hear it, because they're hearing somebody with a clear point of view and a clear perspective, and they understand where he comes from in it. So, the restaurant industry has been my life for 15 years. Like I said, I've worked every part of it. I've been a manager, I've been a supervisor, and those are two different things. I've been a general manager, once again, another thing. I've been a cashier, I've been a line cook, I've been a prep cook, and I've been, you know, a back of the house leader. I have done the schedules, I have done payroll, I have managed a restaurant of 10 staff, I've managed a department of 60. I've led different people in different ways when it comes to this position, and this is why I love the industry as much as I do, because throughout the years I've learned and I've gained and I've adapted and I've moved up and I've moved on through it. And even now, in the place that I'm at right now, I'm still in some way working for the restaurant industry. I've just taken that whole back of the house definition and mutated it a bit. I now do the books for restaurants. I do their paperwork. I track their invoices. I track their payments. And it's another area of restaurants that I've learned. And even in this, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to go through. There's so much to view and so much to understand and so much to grasp. And I think that's the direction that I wanted to switch. The change that I wanted to make. Because I think I held on to so much anger when I originally started this that had been there and plagued me from the poor ways that things ended in the restaurants that I worked in before. And that's why a lot of behind restaurant life was so combative. If no other way to define it, it was angry. But I've come to realize that in the time since I released the last one that I released, where my anger wasn't placed on the restaurant industry, but it was placed for them. And that's where it should always have been. That's where it should always be. This industry provides a service for people in a way that almost no other can. And it does it with staff and with people who are disregarded in so many ways and on so many instances, and have been shamed into their positions, that even holding any of these positions are looked down upon. You use fry cooks as lesser. We use McDonald's employees as insignificant. We make it seem like if you work as a cashier at 30, what the hell did you do to mess up your life? And the reason for that is because these positions don't pay as much as other positions. They don't require a degree like other positions. But the people who are working them are still working them to support the same things that people who have a degree and have these other places, these other positions, and the reason that they have them. They're still doing the same thing for these people. It's just on a lesser scale. And I think the biggest thing that the pandemic should have taught everybody and should have taught almost all the people in the world is without the restaurant world, most of your asses wouldn't eat. Y'all don't know how to cook. Y'all don't know how to season. Y'all don't know what to put in a dish. Y'all wish you knew, but you don't. And if you didn't have the ability to order from the places that you love because they stayed open, because the pandemic didn't stop a lot of them, and it stopped a lot of them, but it didn't stop all of them, then if it wasn't for them, what would you do? Eat cereal all day and hope that you survived in that way? Like, there's a lot of little changes that have happened and a lot of things within the restaurant world that hurt the restaurant industry. And there's a big lie that goes around that says the pandemic is the biggest thing that hurt. Yeah, no, it hurt them. It hurt completely. But there were other subtle changes that were being made across the industry and across restaurants that caused a lot more damage to lead into the effects that have come since the pandemic. The pandemic did not force these places to close because they were in good standing and couldn't come back. It forced these places to close because they were in poor standing, and the pandemic just rushed that along to the end result. I'm sorry to say it. A lot of the restaurants did not fail because they did not have a chance. They failed because before they got to this point, before they got to the pandemic where they were shut down for a while, they were put in a position where they could not make the way they needed to make. I've spoken about it before. If you go back to Behind Restaurant Life, you go back to BRL, you will see me have a conversation about the delivery industry, delivering food, what it used to be and what it is now. But from this side, we'll have a different conversation. Let's talk about what they've taken in percentages and how they control the industry in the way that they do. Let's take a conversation back and look at what the delivery companies, Uber Eats, Seamless, Grubhub, Caviar, DoorDash, Postmates, and all the other ones that are out there. Let's actually sit here and look at them. Examine them. See how they have harmed the industry and not helped it. See how they have harmed the workers and not helped them. Like, the restaurant industry got hurt by the pandemic. But the problem was, it was already wounded before the pandemic came. And if you're already wounded and then you get hurt on top of that, there's not too many ways you can come out the other side. We should learn from the ones that are still pushing through on this side after the pandemic. We should take it in. We should examine them. We should learn from them. We should see what they're doing. And we should hopefully understand how you can still succeed. But we need to first, before we get to that success, understand where the places were that have put so many places in danger. 100,000 restaurants closed. That's insane. An industry has suffered dramatically. Fine dining is not alive currently. Did you know that? You cannot find a fine dining establishment in New York City to truly make any money. Especially not right now with a second run at a shutdown. But what does that do for the long term? Because now, do those places switch to deliveries and pay the 30%? Like I said, that's a discussion to have in a later pod. I just wanted this one to be a reintroduction, a rehash, and a proof that I am here with a voice and a perspective that may be out there in a different way, but is not mine. I'm going to come with the analysis from many different sides because I've experienced many different sides. Let's have a conversation of what, you know, these states required for you to even open up a restaurant. Why not that one? Or if you're in New York and you know the rating scale for restaurants, let's have a conversation of what it truly means to be a C, a B, and an A restaurant. Let's honestly sit here and have that discussion, rather than have this perception that destroys restaurants even more as well. And then on top of that, let's take week over week and just try to figure out together, how is it the restaurant industry, I apologize, that was all tangled, but I'm gonna leave it in there because I want you to hear it as it is. How does the restaurant industry get to the other side of this? What does it need to do? How does it need to do it? And when does it need to do it to get to the other side of this pandemic in a better footing than they were before it? Or even in an even footing where they were before it? This is now the podcast that it should have been when I originally started. This should have been a help. This should have been an assistance to the restaurant world. This should have been a voice for the restaurant world, not an angry person. So that's what it will be. Welcome to Behind the Restaurant. Welcome to a perspective on what it will take to be better at this. Welcome to my side of the story. I appreciate you listening. I cannot wait for you to listen on the next one. See you next time. Peace.